720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon. This right next to me, to my right, is Colin Reed. We're in for Dave Plyer until 5 a.m. And in the studio is comedian Peter John Burns.
Hello.
Hi. You wrote an interesting article for the Chicago Reader. Can you tell us what was it about?
So this this was part of the Worst of Chicago.
Right. How did you get into just, do you write for the Reader on a
ironically enough, this was my first piece for the Reader. They had asked me to pitch something last year for Valentine's Day, and then found out I'd been married for close to 25 years. And they're like, maybe this isn't for you.
Right.
So they came to me and said, you know, Jake, the editor-in-chief of the Reader, sent me an email, said, this is mid-November. We're doing a Worst of Chicago. Would you send us four pitches of topics you might want to do?
Okay.
So I submitted improv, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, O'Hare Airport, and vampires. To be clear, I don't believe vampires exist, but I thought it'd be funny to write an article about
rich, deep vampire culture
in the Windy City. Yeah.
I just thought it'd be funny to, you know, write from the point of view of like a Bridgeport, you know,
Bridgeport vampire.
Super, no, like a guy that's like, I got to clean up the vampires. It's terrible. You know, that was
funny.
You know, I mean, you know, it's a little esoteric. Yeah. And they came back and they said, write about improv. I said, fine. 500 words. I dashed off 500 words in exchange for enough money to buy a good but not great bottle of scotch. But I mean, to give you a sense of, like,
that's,
you know,
quite, yeah,
the wealth that is rolling in from this engagement. And then I thought, you know, my notion about writing this was to write something somewhat similar to, if people are familiar with the Chicago show Write Club, where people are given two different topics, you know, up versus down, and you have to write a you know, literary essay about up and deliver it.
Right.
Or there's a comedy show in Chicago called Arguments and Grievances, where it's Spam versus Ham or Jerry Lee Lewis versus Jerry Lewis. I've done that show a bunch of times. And the notion when you're doing this sort of thing, if you're going to make your case, there's no point in being wishy-washy about it. You go in and you punch as hard as you can. And it's a roast set, essentially. It's not intended to be fair. It's not intended to be nice. And it's not intended to be mealy-mouthed.
Yeah. And I'm amazed by everyone who has come up or commented that it's the worst, you're the worst person ever, how dare you? We love to complain.
Nobody does that on the internet.
No, but I'm just like, I love that they're doing this whole series because it's just complaining. We love, Chicagoans as a whole love to complain about everything.
Yes, well, unfortunately, this is now expanded beyond Chicago, which is something I did not for a moment expect in any real sense. I figured this is a short squib, 500 words is not, you know, it's a few paragraphs, in the local alternative weekly. And it was sitting in print, in the print version of this, next to a snarky take on Navy Pier and CTA commuters
There's an entire assortment in the greater context of this larger issue.
Right, and physically you look at it.
Yeah.
And say, oh, yes, this is just one of those, you know, another one of these things that somebody's complaining about.
There's all sorts of bro culture, Trump Tower, like there's all sorts of things.
Right. Yeah. And unfortunately, one unfortunate bit was that it was paired, I think, with a headline that was more provocative, shall I say, than I would have liked. The title that was put on the article, and in case people aren't aware of this, when you write for a periodical, you don't get to pick the headline or the pull quotes or the layout. I mean, that's all left to the periodical.
Yeah.
And so the title that they gave this was Why Improv is Neither Funny Nor Entertaining, comma, According to a Stand-Up Comic.
Oh, boy.
Which immediately made it Jets versus Sharks, right? You know, I mean, you could hear the West Side Story music just playing in the background.
Yeah.
Right.
But do you think that's is that a thing?
I mean, no, I don't think, I think that there is some rivalry, but especially in the past, I don't know, you know, 5+ years, I think there's less of a market antipathy than, say, there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
In part because stand-up comedy in Chicago has seen a resurgence, so that regular people, civilians, mm-hmm. you know, are aware that it exists, so that you can say, I do comedy in Chicago, and the assumption isn't always that you work at Second City.
Right.
Right.
Which used to rankle people in the stand-up community for good. I mean, you know, probably they were a little being oversensitive about it, but, mm-hmm. you know, that was certainly a phenomenon. And now there's a more, you know,
an equilibrium, if you will.
Yeah, a little bit more.
A little bit.
You know, but and so I think that there are plenty of performers that have a foot in both worlds now, which wasn't true, say, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I think there's more of a detente. There are shows that do a little bit of both. But certainly that headline announced, this is someone not of your camp,
right,
criticizing your camp.
Yeah.
And also, once it was shared around, it was divorced from the context of the page. It was, you know, it wasn't clear that this was a Worst of Chicago article.
Mm-hmm.
It was a standalone article. And unfortunately, for a lot of readers, they interpreted it as not a collection of roast jokes that, you know, were mean, unfair, and occasionally inaccurate for the purposes of humor.
Yeah.
And instead, they interpreted it as some sort of manifesto, as though, you know, I wasn't a guy who had submitted 4 topics, got one picked, mm-hmm. cranked out 500 words, you know, carefully. I mean, I did put a little work into it.
Yeah.
But
the article itself is, I have to say, very well written and very, very cutting and biting, but painfully funny.
Well,
and that's subjective. That's one man's opinion.
I was going to say that I can point to a host of people who would disagree.
Yes,
with you.
And I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will.
Yeah, and so it became this. I hate to use the word viral because I don't know what level you want to say viral, but it escaped from its cage of being a local article for the Alternative Weekly.
Yeah.
The first day I'm reading comments on them, mm-hmm. you know, and chuckling, you know, yes, some people aren't getting it.
Yeah, yeah.
I knew writing these jokes for this piece that some people weren't going to get it and they're going to be mad. My wife said, you're going to make some people mad.
Oh,
and I said,
well, yeah.
And I said, yeah, okay, that's fine.
I mean, specifically, I think one of my favorite lines, improv is why Judd Apatow comedies are a half hour too long and contain an additional hour of outtakes in which performer dudes vaguely grope for a punchline. Not inaccurate, in my opinion.
Well, again, there are people who are furiously commenting that Judd Apatow movies aren't really improv, and that, you know, they're written. I mean,
yeah, people can nitpick every line of everything,
right.
And whatever.
This is part of it. There are people that are fact-checking a roast. And
right.
That's just that's inappropriate.
Yeah. And meanwhile, if it was a roast, Rickles would already be, you know, 3 deep into a case of bourbon.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And they're not necessarily going to step to him anyway.
So the first day I'm reading little snarky comments and fine, some of you people aren't getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started looking at the number of shares. And again, to be clear, I was not deliberately, as some have been accusing me, of doing, not deliberately creating clickbait.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not getting paid one penny more for this. And suddenly I see that it's been shared 1,200 times, 2,000 times. As of tonight,
mm-hmm.
this article, this silly little article that I just wrote to make some mean jokes about improv, has been shared 5,000 times. There are improv groups in Ireland and Australia talking about it. North Carolina is furious.
Oh, is that the big hatred
thing,
contingency?
Yeah.
We're going to take a break.
Sure.
We'll be back with Peter John Burns. We're going to talk more about this. And then, you know, more about what other stuff you do.
Sure.
The non-hating things. We'll be right back.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the one.
listening to 720 WGN. Esmeralda Leon, Colin Reed in for Dave Plyer this Christmas Eve morning. And here in studio, we have Peter John Burns talking about his his article about improv.
Yeah, as members of my family would be the first to tell you, this is not the first time I've ruined Christmas. So.
Oh, no.
Long-standing and proud family.
That's right, exactly. Me ruining Christmas. Yeah. And now I've ruined it for an entire global community of improvisers. Again, it's been... There has been something very strange in terms of like the criticism I've been getting.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like, attempts to wound me. They've been, and it's funny, there have been enough of them, they've been collected in large buckets, you know, like...
you redistribute those throughout to other... You know,
yeah, right, exactly. I give them out to all the girls and boys. You know, the big one, probably the number one is like, well, somebody got cut from a Herald team, Herald being the long-form improv.
Right.
You know, somebody didn't get into Second City Conserv... And it's like, it's so weird that like, if I had written this about ballet...
Mm-hmm.
If I had picked that as the art form to, you know, poop on, I don't imagine ballet dancers would go, well, you really wanted to do ballet and you couldn't, could you?
But he couldn't pull off a pirouette if life depended on it.
Right.
Have you done improv?
I mean, I took a few classes in college.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to claim I was any great shakes. You know, I also did a lot of binge drinking in college. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was good enough so that the improv teacher cast me in a minor role in a drama department production of Midsummer Night's Dream. I was not a drama major. I was I was an English major. So I guess I was that good. But I'm a stand-up comedian. Of the art forms that exist, mm-hmm. I'm a stand-up comedian with no aspirations to act,
mm-hmm.
you know, no aspirations to do improv, no aspirations to do sketch. You know, I look like I look, and I pretty much have a emotional range from like A to B. So it's not going to be my thing.
And I love the other titles that you had, or that you decided that you were thinking about writing about. Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Right, I would have been equally mean about Ferris Bueller's Day Off, to be clear. It just wouldn't have gone global, I don't think.
Yeah, you wouldn't be getting direct DMs from Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, he would be up in there. We have our host, our overnight host, weekdays, Nick DiGilio, hates that movie. He despises it.
I mean, I legitimately hate Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah. No, he does too. He finds Ferris to be...
He's a sociopath.
Yes. Yeah. I think you guys would get along very well.
He's a sociopath who
thinks that... It's an arguable point, You can argue that.
And we talk about it like it's this great Chicago movie. For Ferris Bueller, the city of Chicago has a southern boundary of the Art Institute. And, you know, it's all north, right? It's the Art Institute. It's Wrigley Field. It's some eatery... somewhere in Lincoln Park, and then they drive back to Wilmette in the stolen Porsche.
Right.
So, yeah, he's a bond trader. I mean, that's true.
He's a North Shore, he's a punk North Shore kid,
right?
Essentially,
right. And the only people of color in that movie are the two Hispanic gentlemen who steal the car, and some African American women who are given no lines or dialogue, but who get to dance along with Ferris. After he commandeers a float.
Yeah, and that's supposedly our Chicago.
And was not promptly arrested.
Right, everyone thinks he's adorable.
Yeah.
For the one parade...
But he's wearing that vest.
Right. Yeah. For the one parade ever done on a school day. I mean, does anyone know a parade that is regularly done in Chicago closing down streets on a school day?
Yeah, it's a random Tuesday afternoon.
Right. Right, we just have parades.
It's New Orleans, like second New Orleans.
You make your own parades.
Yeah.
What were the other topics that you had? You had the Ferris.
I had O'Hare.
O'Hare. Well, yeah, that's.
I mean, that's terrible. But you know, I didn't. To be fair, O'Hare is just sort of a burden we all share. I mean, probably in the pitch, I wasn't quite as stinging because I'm like, I mean, we endure it, right? It's like racist grandpa at Christmas.
Yeah. And
O'Hare. Right.
Midway would be a shorter article. Why?
Right. Yeah. Well, but actually. If I'm going to be completely honest, I kind of like Midway.
There
it's
you
like,
go.
You know, I can walk, you know, I can get off the L and say, oh, I don't care how heavy my bag is. I know I'm going to be able to make it in those two front doors without any issue.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Fair point.
And I think there's a Dunkin' Donuts right as you get off. So That's,
and vampires. Like vampires was
vampires,
my last.
Right. The vampires.
Right. And, you know, I don't know that I would have been particularly mean about vampires because they don't exist.
Right.
Right.
You know. Flying humanoids, though, allegedly.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you have included that humanoid that everyone is talking about?
Is this the Mothman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it and a Mothman?
Or? I don't think they've nailed down a
they
specific.
They haven't figured out exactly.
He's very entity fluid, I believe.
I have yet to cover this in part because... although my podcast is current events, mm-hmm. contemporaneous in nature, it tends to be the sort of thing where it's like it's recorded weekly and released quarterly. But I have a resident cryptozoologist, local comedian and improviser, because I want to show that I'm a man of the people.
There you go.
Jason Earl Folks, he comes on to talk about Bigfoot, and we'll have him on to talk about
That's
very nice.
That is a deeply fascinating
topic. Then your podcast is called
This Week in Despair.
See, so I don't understand how people just need to do a little back checking.
Right. I mean, there's actually someone who said, why are people upset that a guy with a podcast called This Week in Despair is negative about things?
Yeah.
And again, it's the worst in Chicago. It wasn't supposed to be fair and balanced articles about Chicago. You know, the article about Navy Pier isn't trying to find the good points.
Right.
Yeah. So what else? What are you doing? What do you have coming up? You have the podcast This Week in Despair.
I have the podcast This Week in Despair. I've got a show out in Rockford at
We go to Rockford, man. We are in 38 states and parts of Canada.
I hit all the hot spots. I actually like going out to Rockford because I can work on longer sets than you normally can in Chicago.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to get some angry improvisers at your show?
Some have threatened.
Really?
To
drive
to Rockford. Sabotage.
Not to Rockford.
Oh, okay.
Knows.
Oh, no.
They're not that dedicated or organized, because that's the nature of improv. They're
okay.
Yeah, sorry.
Here's that drum kit we set up.
Bring it up.
I came on here with the notion of like I'm going to try and dial things down, and then the old reflexes kick in.
Let's ramp it up, though.
Yeah, you can't help it. You just can't help it.
No, I mean, I have a show up in Highwood on January 11th in a wine bar, which is, you know, it'll be a little fancy.
Mm.
All of these, by the way, mm-hmm. I guess if we're doing plugs, peterburns.com. There's no John in the actual website because it's old. But yeah, Peter Burns, B-Y-R-N-E-S, like Jane Byrne or David Byrne with an S. There's an event calendar you can go and click on
Very
stuff
nice.
And what have you.
If I could ask a fairly, maybe a little bit less lighthearted, do you feel there is an element to this article that kind of touches on a little bit larger issue within, you know, the improv community, and that's to go along with this kind of larger issue of kind of consent and things of nature, and not absent in any community, by the way, just to clarify.
Yeah. I mean, this was another one of the criticisms, which is, yes, I have a joke or two about yes and improv culture being inherently a lack of consent, and perhaps that's part of the reason that there are sexual predators both in and shielded by the institutions of improvisation.
Do you feel that some of the blowback, the direct blowback, is maybe as a defense mechanism to that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Without a doubt, conflating yes and culture and a lack of consent and sexual harassment and assault is probably the biggest trigger in the piece.
Right.
And I guess that's a way of saying, I think even if you understand that this is supposed to be a roast set, even if you understand that these are supposed to be hyperbolically rhetorical jokes, it is still, from my point of view, completely fair if you don't like them. If you're part of the improv community, or even if you're not, they're jokes with teeth. I'm not, you know, I put the teeth in. I'm aware that they're there. But yeah, and I guess what I should also say is there are a lot of comments of like, you know, isn't he aware of Louis C.K.? Why is he talking about sexual harassment in improv? Again, the snarky knee jerk response is to write back and say, no, Louis C.K.? Did something happen? I didn't hear. But obviously I know about Louis C.K. Obviously I've heard about Bill Cosby. If you went to look at my Facebook feed, there are a lot of mean comments about both of them. I write mean jokes. It's kind of what I do. Having said that, I think it's deeply disappointing to me that for so many people, the knee-jerk response is to say, well, what about?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I'm not making this up. There was an article in BuzzFeed, you know, at the beginning of 2016 about, yes, and pressuring women into doing things they didn't want to do on stage on the West Coast at West Coast I.O., at mm-hmm. West Coast UCB. There was a large article in January of 2016 in our own Chicago Tribune talking about sexual harassment and how yes and culture is pressuring women into doing things on stage that they don't want to do. Stand-up has huge structural and institutional problems around the notion of sexual assault. But improv does too, specifically in that it's so rigidly hierarchical in terms of you have a teacher and you move up levels and so on and so forth. And that's just a structure that's rife for abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happened. I didn't make that up.
Yeah.
And I don't think the response should be immediately, well, what about you? I mean, because if you said there's sexual harassment in stand-up comedy, my immediate response is yes, and we're trying to work on it.
And let's talk about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Bringing in joy and sunshine just before Christmas. Yeah, I'm
No, but I think, do you think you're going to have to, you would have to write something else to be like, hey, guys, I was not so...
I mean, there's
not
part
so
of me that's
serious about this.
Well, there's part of me that says, look, if you didn't understand that these were jokes, yeah. I mean, I understand that there was a context divorce that you didn't understand as part of the Best of Chicago. But part of me also says there's a legitimate criticism to say that I failed because people don't understand that these are jokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, straight faced satire and irony doesn't always play well. And it's fair to say maybe I didn't do a good enough job for people to notice. I also want to say that, like, the piece is the piece.
Yeah.
And it's out there, and at a certain point, what am I going to do? Go on, you know, 5,000 Facebook walls and say, you know, just to be clear, I didn't. It's going to be Christmas. The internet will find something else to hate on Boxing Day, I'm pretty sure.
True.
There you go.
This is true.
All right, Peter John Burns, thank you so much. PeterBurns.com.
Yes, and WeCanDespair.com.
WeCanDespair.com. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. If you're an Amazon Echo user, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's 4:02. Here's Roger Badish.